Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Thursday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great selection of new and pre-owned inventory. The best selection of new vehicles out there. And a sales staff that is there for you to pick the right vehicle and just not there to complete the sale. And you have a service department that is there for you with the diagnostics, the inspections, all the good old routine maintenance. Many awesome technicians ready to serve you, but now they need more because Sunbury Motors is also the home of the repeat customer because of that all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee. SMC is looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body frame and alignment, and towing departments. Whether you're an experienced technician, an entry-level technician looking for that first job, or maybe you're just looking for a career change, they would love to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 286-7746. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Another busy show coming up today. High school football roundtable, week 9. One more of these before we start the playoffs. Unbelievable, we've made it to this point in the high school season already. So that'll be at 3:35. You got Chickalemme at Mount Carmel on WKOK tomorrow night. You've got Lewisburg at Bloomsburg on the Valley, and Selins Grove at Montoursville. Won 94KX this week due to Phillies baseball being on Eagle 107. So note that change. Seals, Montoursville, 94KX this week because of the Phillies on Eagle 107 with Game 3 of the NLCS tomorrow night as well. So we'll get into that at 3:35. 4:06 today, we got Scott Docterman from The Athletic. Normally covers Iowa for The Athletic, but he's had some real interesting notes on the Big Ten as a whole, so we'll get into that with him today. And Reginald Walker Jr. back with us this week as well with his take on the tough one last week to Michigan. Looking forward to Minnesota for the whiteout this Saturday night. And speaking of the whiteout, if you haven't seen this yet, Penn State fans now have an opportunity to participate in a pregame experience that's new with the whiteout this year. Beaver Stadium is going to feature a synchronized light show using the cell phones of those in attendance. All you have to do if you're going to the game is download the official Penn State Athletics app, click Lion Lights on the bottom right side of the screen. The app will then need access to the cell phone's microphone and camera. When fans see the waiting to sync message on the screen, it's then ready to go. So if you're going to the game, make sure you do that. I mean, I think you pretty much need that app anyway for ticketing and parking, whatever the case. So this allows you to do one more thing on the official Penn State Athletics app. I have it myself, actually. And it's a good app. So if you're going to the game, download it. I'll have everything that you need right then and there. But that is going to be very cool. I can't wait to see that. I mean, the whiteout's already one of the most incredible things to see in sports. Yeah, that to the mix, I can't wait to see that Saturday night. So looking forward to that. Most definitely. One note from practice yesterday, and we'll see if Steve is able to shed any light on this. With the absence of Kevon Lee yesterday, it's conflicting. James Franklin himself said he wasn't at practice, wasn't in class, but then there's rumors out there that he wasn't at practice because of class. So it's I'm going with the head coach here on this one when it comes to stuff like this. Normally, James Franklin is pretty transparent about these things. So whatever the case may be, it wasn't there, but haven't really heard or seen anything else. So I guess whatever it is, it was probably some personal issue. Maybe he was sick. Who knows? But I don't know, it doesn't sound like, as of now, it's going to affect his game status. Putting that out there for whatever that's worth. As far as the Phillies go yesterday, disappointing game, no doubt, yesterday. But sure, the Padres definitely have all the momentum, considering they were able to erase a 4-0 deficit fairly quickly with the back-to-back homers on back-to-back pitches in the fourth, and then they had the five-run fifth, got a couple more in the seventh. But the way that crowd has been at Citizens Bank Park, I mean, they've had some raucous crowds there for past playoff games. But just because of the nature of how long it's been since the Phillies have been in the playoffs, the overall success of Philly sports right now, I just think it's just it's an atmosphere that's unprecedented for anybody going in there. And still with the fact that the Phillies at least get a split, and you got the next three at home, I'm still confident that the Phillies will have the ability to win at least two of the three, if not maybe all three, at home. But even if you win two out of the three, you can win a game in San Diego anyway. So I don't think there should be a lot of panic with the Phillies. That's just my take, Steve.
But you haven't watched the Phillies all year. What do you know about them?
I watched them last night before.
Oh,
I watched
for the first
Yankees.
Time all year. For the first time all year, only because they were leading to the Yankees game.
I've been paying attention much more than you think I have. As far as
really?
The Phillies go. Yeah. They're a fun team to watch. I've enjoyed their run.
You're only saying that to suck up to Roger.
It's just the Philly sport fan in me with the rest of the teams that's happy for the city to have the success of the Phillies, along with everything else going on right now.
Here's the crusher from yesterday. You're up 4-0, got Nola on the mound, and Nola has been not just good, he has been terrific.
Yeah.
In the last 3 weeks. So it was the last scenario you expected. So we go back to Heath Bell on the show yesterday. And I asked him, we all know the givens, Soto, Machado. What do you do with the other seven? And I brought up the name Josh Bell. What do they need from him to then balance out everything among the other seven versus Machado and Soto? And he said he needs to hit a home run.
And there you go.
He hit a home run yesterday. That's why we have these people on the show. It's a simple solution, but that's why we have people on the show, to give you that kind of analysis. And it turned out that's what he did. And it changed everything yesterday. That was a blow to the Phillies in that they're up 4-0 with exactly the guy on the mound you want. And you didn't win the game. That hurts. Now, you got the next three in Philadelphia. And you're right. They can win two out of three. They walk out of there with the split. Because, for example, the Yankees are playing Houston tonight. If Houston wins, this stat then comes into play. 84% of the teams that have taken a 2-0 advantage in a series in baseball have gone on to win that series.
Yeah, it's over. I know you got Cole and Cortez next, but it's over.
Oh, but it's Nasty Nestor. They'll never touch him.
Doesn't matter. The Yankees can't hit. They can't hit with runners in scoring position for the 50,000th time like they did last night. They're not going to win a game. I don't care if you have Sandy Koufax on the mound.
It was not a good night for your manager. Your manager really hurt you last night.
Yeah, it wasn't. He was awful last night.
I mean, he hurt you last night.
Jameson Taillon was actually good. And you take him out. His pitch count was good last night.
What have I said? What have I talked about all week? What have I talked about all week? You don't make decisions when you panic.
Exactly.
He panicked.
But even he shouldn't have panicked because... Yeah, he did. But he shouldn't have panicked, which shows you even how much of a decision, how worse that was, because you saw him work out of a jam earlier in the game. Give him another opportunity to do it. And if he does it, then you take him out. As I said in the last series, Boone's lost me. He really has. He's completely lost me as a manager.
He speaks highly of you. Did you see the comments he put in about your kid on the bike? It was adorable. No? That wasn't him?
No. If anything, you make him be a bat boy, then that'd show appreciation for me.
Yeah, but he might get hit with a ball.
That's true. Or actually, you know what? They let him cut the lawn at Yankee Stadium. That would make him happy.
Well, he's already cutting your lawn.
Exactly.
A little extreme at the age of two, but that's just me.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
That's a big lawn, by the way. No offense, I'd get him a riding mower.
He's okay with that, too.
I'd make that investment now if that's your goal. As somebody who has walked on that lawn, which I have, but hey, it's one. Yeah. So tonight, Severino Valdez, good pitching matchup tonight. Two good pitchers out there. The part about the lineup that I know you're trying to get Carpenter's bat in the lineup, a left-handed bat against Verlander. I got it. But if that was the thought process during the season, how come you didn't play Stanton in left field more than you did?
Also another valid question.
If you're thinking about this possibility moving forward, how come Stanton didn't at least get a couple of more shots in the outfield in the last month of the year? That makes no sense to me. I mean, he made one nice play out there. It's not like he can't play it.
Yeah, he's a great fielder.
Right? No, he's not.
Oh, he's a decent fielder. Okay. He's decent.
Yeah, he's okay. He's not a butcher, but he's also not Scott Kiermaier.
Yeah.
All right. So okay.
He's okay. Yeah, my bad there.
All right. I don't know. This is just if they win tonight, they go back with a split, and they got Cole going. All right.
If they win tonight, then you got Cole and Nestor, then you got a series.
Right. Now, you got Cole going, and then you have the second greatest pitcher in the history of the Yankee organization going.
You, sir, are my hero!
At least based on what you've been saying all year. Oh, sure, they've had Guidry and Rivera and Whitey Ford, but Nasty Nestor...
It's all in the stash.
Oh, brother. Yeah, I watched the other stash strike out three times last night.
Yeah.
All right. That's all one. Okay. There were 17 strikeouts. Now, let's go back to Verlander for a moment. That was the classic example, and I know he has not won a game in 3 years. I mean, I'm talking about a playoff game in 3 years. But that was a classic example of when you face a really good pitcher. If you don't get the guy early, you won't get him. And Verlander's breaking stuff early in the game was not sharp. In fact, Bader homered off a mediocre breaking ball. And, H just turned on it and crushed it. And then in the third inning, he got out of second and third, and guess what he found? Sharpness on his breaking ball to go with his fastball.
Yep.
And after that, I knew it was lights out. He struck out 11. They didn't get him when they had a chance to get him. And that was a crushing moment.
Absolutely.
For them. All right. And then for the Phillies, Phillies had the 4-0 lead. There's not really anything I could point to where they missed. Yeah, I mean, Snell kind of hung in there. The bottom line is, to get the Nola like that, the way Nola's been pitching, and I thought Nola in the first three innings looked sharp as heck, right? And, like, I didn't expect that. Now, I got to admit, part of the implosion happened when I was at practice, so.
I could tell, it's one thing to give up the home run to Drury, but then yeah. as soon as the next pitch like that, and that's blasted by Bell, then you can tell something was up. It just, he was starting to lose it a little bit, and I think that riled him up a little bit. I think that's when the game turned. Just me, but yeah. I think the game turned.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Big part of that. All right. Get a really, really big shoe today. Really big shoe. We're going to have Matt's kid on to talk about Aaron Judge at 3:35.
All right.
Okay, that interview's over. So I think that's all I can say, right?
He can also say Aaron Judge hit home runs and yanks. Those are the things he's learned to say.
Okay, so you're saying we can't get 10 minutes out of this. Okay, just checking. We're not going to be able to get 10 minutes.
Probably not, no.
Okay, all right. Then we're going to have to go with Plan B. All right, so...
This is a better Plan B.
Okay. We're going to have the high school football roundtable coming up at 3:35. So far, so good?
Absolutely.
Scott Docterman on his conversation with Kevin Warren on Big Ten expansion at 4:06.
All eyes on that one.
And Reginald Walker on Penn State football at 4:35. That's our plan B, since obviously the Big Luke interview has fallen through because of a lack of vocabulary. He's two. He's actually speaking very well for two.
Thank you.
Yeah, but it's just not going to work on the show. You don't seem to understand. Why do you set these segments up? We'll come back. Is it just to make Lisa happy? What are you doing? I mean, I don't get it. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
All right.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sue wanted some advice one time on a timeshare. He called me up. I said, I don't know about timeshares. I said, where are you looking at? And he said, there's this really intriguing place called San Quentin. And he scares me. It worries me. I mean, I don't know.
He has had another long high school season, so we have to come a little slack.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. We're going to start with Zach first.
Yep, and then we have Greg and Chief in the studio.
Oh, good. Must be fun for the Chief to sit there and talk with Greg and just kind of feel like he's, you know, for one of the few times during the week having an intellectual conversation.
Oh, my almighty!
What? No, I'm just trying to praise Greg. Why do you take everything so negatively? I worry. I worry about you. Zach, come on in, save the show.
I'll do my best.
Yeah, okay. All right, so they've been playing well. So at this stretch, why?
Well, last week I think was kind of, everything didn't click, but offensively they were finally able to get back to what they've wanted to do since, you know, the off season. They were able to run the football. They had Tucker Teets, the running back, had a career high 270 yards rushing against Hollidaysburg. They were able to throw the ball. Mark Pastore, the quarterback, threw for a career high 249 yards, and their top wide receiver, sophomore Gavin Bastian, had a career high 199 yards. So, anytime you have your running back, quarterback, and wide receiver be able to throw and run for career highs, you know, that's a pretty good recipe for success there. So, offensively, they were able to be really balanced. Defensively, overall, they gave up a few big plays to Hollidaysburg, but they were able to basically set the tone. Unfortunately, the offense had three fumbles and a pick six, so it was not a good day in that, turning the ball over four times. But overall, you know, things are looking up for this team.
All right, so this is what I find interesting about it. I know Hollidaysburg is not the best team out there, but you're playing a team at this stage of the season, and no offense, you don't really know much about. You can run down all the tape you want, but you really have no gauge on the speed of how they do things and so forth until you actually face them. Which, by the way, when they get out of the district, they're going to face some teams like that. I thought that was important that they were able to get to it and adjust the way they did.
Yeah, absolutely, and it was not an easy game. They spotted Hollidaysburg 7 points, fumbled right inside the 5 yard line on a muff punt on the, you know, after they forced a quick three and out, and then they got up by 10 points, 24-14 going into the half, and then proceeded to give up a pick six and another touchdown, and just like that, they were losing a game. They were pretty much dominating. I wouldn't say dominating, but we're in control of. So, you know, being able to, like you said, being able to get outside of the district and play a team, you know, a 5A team, so they have more kids. And also that two-hour ride that we talked about last week, you know, mm-hmm. That's never an easy way to go. So the fact that they were able to, you know, face some adversity and overcome that really twice when they got down in the first half and then, you know, pretty much take over control of the game in the third quarter and fourth quarter.
All right, so now let's get to this week. You know, back to work one more time, but this time back in the region. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so Montoursville is a team that's 4-4. They've gotten blown out the past 2 weeks to Danville and Jersey Shore, which I feel like that's been a broken record this year for a lot of teams. Two of the best.
Yeah, I know. Belfont's got Danville this week, and I've already told everybody here. I said there is trouble in River City.
yeah, they're going to have their hands full. So it's interesting watching them on tape. Montoursville has had some close games against what I would consider some average teams. But Montoursville is always a team that you know you're going to have physical play on the lines. Their kids are going to show up and play hard, you know, hard-nosed mentality. So it's going to be an interesting game for Stalens Grove. I think one thing to watch, Montoursville's top wide receiver, Marco Paluzzi, is out for the season after a couple weeks ago, and they really haven't found a consistent passing game. So it'll be interesting to see defensively if Stalens Grove's able to force them to be one-dimensional. I think that's an area where Stalens Grove can, you know, do pretty well defensively. And offensively, they've just been able to establish the running game with Tucker Teeth. Right now, honestly, until Jersey Shore, hopefully in a couple weeks, Milton's no slouch, who you're looking at as your district playoff opener. But, you know, this is a team that I think should be able to establish the running game. Montoursville has a physical front, but not an overly big front, and they do have a couple guys that have played both ways. And it's really an area where Stalens Grove has improved upon. They really only have, you know, three or four guys that are consistently going both ways, and very few of those guys are in the trenches. So it's an area where I think over the course of the game that Stalens Grove may be able to wear down a team that, you know, is a little banged up in Montoursville.
Always a pleasure, Zach. Great job.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Well, let's now go to the dynamic duo in the studio, and it's a double question here. Dave, what was it like to you to spend a Friday night where you could get a word in edgewise? And Greg, what was it like for you to spend a Friday night where it really you felt totally rested for Saturday's game?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I enjoyed watching the Phillies game while Kevin broadcast the shit game.
I was with the entire family in Cleveland, so I was occupied with Cleveland fever on a Friday and Saturday.
You, sir, are my hero!
I mean, you probably got a sore throat. It's the first time you talked on Friday night.
You know, what's really funny is I do have a sore throat. I do. I haven't seen Cleveland that excited since Ricky Vaughn struck out Clue Hayward, all right, in 1998.
Johnstown's Pete Vukovich.
Yes, that's who it was. Right. You're right.
Yep, Pete Johnstown's Vukovich. Yep, Cy Young Award winner, yep. Johnstown's Pete Vukovich. Right. The fact that we're talking about the movie Major League when we're doing the high school football segment is not a good sign.
You're right.
So, what did Greg tell you about Friday night since he had time to observe?
F-O-U-L-E-G, that spells out.
Well, we were talking about the game, and I did listen in from time to time, but he said the fact that that Bloomsburg scored two of their touchdowns on fourth down plays, that it might have been, you know, the game could end up 7-7. So again, the defense, you know, plays well, but the offense has some problems, and it's been the problem we've had all year long with just not having enough time for our plays to develop, whether they're running or whether they're passing. Mm-hmm.
Years ago, and I know I brought this up in a roundabout way, and it's hard when you got so many two-way players. But remember, you know, of course, you know, Penn State doesn't have that issue. But Joe would talk about putting his best athletes on defense and then going from there. Now the game has changed a lot in that way. But how tough is it that you're looking around and, you know, your best athletes are not on offense, especially at key positions?
Well, it's one of those situations where it's a matter of picking priorities. You know, do we want to try to keep them from scoring, or do we want to try to outscore them? And it's a difficult choice to make a lot of times. Like we've talked about before, those kids put a lot of effort into playing defense, and they're solid. The line has played well, and they've taken up a lot of bodies, and the linebackers have made a lot of the tackles. And you know, then those kids, a lot of them have to come over and go on offense. So there has to be a time when you have a little bit of respite. Maybe sometimes you just don't have as much energy on offense as you had on defense. And you know, I think especially if you're in the line, because you're butting heads all night long with basically the same guys on offense or defense. So, and this week's not going to be any easier because
Mount Carmel.
Oh my gosh, do they have? Well, this is the same kids they had last year when Shikellamy played them at home. It's a really nice size team. I mean, when I talk about big kids, these are college weights at 250 to 270 pounds, and Mount Carmel on offense. Greg and I were talking about, they pull a lot of their linemen on a lot of their plays, so these kids aren't just big, but they're able to keep up with the backs. Yeah. So it'll be another difficult night for our kids on the line.
I mean, it's how tough is it right now emotionally for these kids? Like they don't want this to happen to them.
No.
They don't want. I mean, nobody hates this more than they do.
I have all the respect in the world, all right, for those kids that are still out there, and the kids that also came out to try to help out to get some numbers so they could practice and maybe get some kids in the games. And I talk about it all the time. You know, it's tough on the kids, but it's also tough on the coaching staff.
Oh, yes.
Because you're trying to figure out ways, and they do a nice job of coming up with an offensive and a defensive scheme, but then it's a matter of execution. And it's one of those deals where You can prepare, but if you are not able to, if they have a better athlete at a position, or they've got a bigger line or a better line, or you know, it's just you do the best you can. So, I've been watching our 7th and 8th grade team. I watched them play Milton last night, and they beat Milton. They've won their last 5 games. They got 52 kids, and Steve, I watched their line. Their line comes off the ball. They block people. They've got I saw a couple of backs that actually led isolates and took out linebackers on isolate plays, and I saw a lot of really good things, and I'm hoping that those kids continue on, and that way at least we could get a JV program next year, and you start building, and they have been what I would call a blessing, all right, to the program right now, and their kids are. I've watched them practice. They practice hard and they're playing right. I think they understand the game.
I'm really glad you brought that up. I really am. Greg, are we going to have the same kind of conversation with Lewisburg? I mean, seriously, about Lewisburg, really the same stuff?
Yeah, the only difference is Lewisburg's coming off a win. You know, Shikellamy got their win early in the year. Lewisburg's now coming off a win, but it's pretty much, you know, when I was watching the team play last weekend, it was like watching Lewisburg in a mirror. The only difference I will say is Lewisburg's quarterback is more mobile than Shikellamy's quarterback. And he's also a senior, has played there for 3 years. And he had a good game last week. He was 5 for 6 for 135 yards and 2 touchdowns. But other than that, it's like watching two teams in a mirror. Linebackers are their best players on defense. Defensive line tries to take up blocks so linebackers can make plays. Defensive backs are solid. Same with Shikellamy. They're solid defensive backs. It's just, what can the line do to make these teams better? And when they have a good game, Schick and Lewisburg are going to be able to run the ball and throw the ball and do a lot better. And that's what it comes down to, offensive and defensive line play.
What do you think that win did for the emotion of this team? And when you went to practice, did you see more jump because of it?
Oh, heck yeah. You saw jump that night off the field. It was, you know, the locker room, the coach said, was amazing in the locker room. He said the kids are always together in the locker room. But he said that night it was just a different feel in the locker room. It was senior night. It was their last game at Bucknell. So it was a good feeling. And it's a game that we really thought they would dominate because of the speed factor that they have over Midwest. And the first play was a 76-yard touchdown run, and it just loosened everything up. And the kids played well, and it was a fun night for the Green Dragons.
So what can make it a fun night this week?
Well, Bloomsburg is not an easy team. They have 2 kids at running back.
And this is amazing because you get to you saw both teams last week.
Yes, yeah. Bloomsburg is a good team. They have 2 kids over 200 pounds at running back, Madden Locke and Zeisloff, Blake Zeisloff. I'll tell you, the Zeisloff kid, I wouldn't want to stand in his way. He's about 5'10", 205 pounds, and he runs hard. And the thing that confuses you with Bloomsburg is they run 3 different kids at quarterback. So that's something they have going for them there. The Zentner kid probably plays more than the other 3, but they bring a freshman who throws the ball well and runs better than Zentner. So there's all different kinds of things that Lewisburg's going to have to play for this week, but I think the key for them is to make them a throwing team, because if Locke and Zeisloff can run downhill, Lewisburg's in trouble.
Dave, great to have you back.
It's good to be back. I want to thank Greg for helping me out last week. So,
well, I mean, he didn't have to do much. He just had to sit there and watch the other guy.
I ate a cheesesteak during the game, Steve.
What does that tell you?
S-U-I-T. That spells suit.
Now, do they have the Halushki out now?
I don't think they have Halushki at Shikellamy, but no. where I'm going on Friday night, no. I can get any of the coal region.
You got it.
Mount Carmel.
Yeah, if I go across the road to the car lot, I could probably get some Boilo over there too. So.
Right. Oh my old body!
Yep.
Oh my God, I have so much fun talking with you guys every week. I really do.
Well, we enjoy each other here and enjoy you, Steve.
Yep,
thank you.
We really do.
Thanks, guys. Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate your time as always. What a blast.
Thank you.
All right. Scott Docterman from The Athletic next half hour on expansion or the lack thereof in the Big Ten here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.